Podcasting 2.0 for February 21st, 2025, episode 211, Podcast Plumbing. Oh yeah, it's Friday again. It's 27 degrees on Main Street in Fredericksburg. But it's time for the only board meeting that has an RSS feed. That's right, our boardroom's got that. It is Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening with podcasting, what has been, what is now, and what will forever be. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who comes to the party whether he's sick or not. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
I'm telling you, I did that. I hit the post right when you finished me up.
Right when I finished you off.
Right when I finished. I hit the post.
That's all right. I'd forgotten to hit the lit tag too. So, Bad signal has been sent. Bad signal has been sent. The pong has been pinged. That's right. Hey, Dave, how you doing? You don't sound so hot today. You sound a little under the weather, as we say.
Yeah, I'm sick.
Aw,
it went through my daughter and my wife, and that was like maybe 4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh man, maybe I escaped. And then it was like, no. Yeah. I woke up this morning, I'm like, nope.
What is it? Throat, cough. Is that all the typical symptoms?
Not really cough. It's just throat and fatigue.
You know,
just feel like you've been run over.
I'm sorry. You just want to quit and we'll do it next week?
Yeah, I'll see you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, take care.
I know you better than that, Dave Jones.
No, I'm gonna muscle through. I'm gonna push my body beyond its normal limits to get a board meeting, which seems so important.
Oh boy,
it is important. You hear? Did you see the big news that I revealed?
The big names that you revealed?
No, the big news that I revealed, like literally. Like right before I connected to the stream.
No. Did you release this on podcastindex.social, this big news?
I did, yes.
What did you release?
Apple's official documentation. Apple has now adopted the podcast TXT tag.
Ha! How about that?
Yes, their official documentation now references. So let me give the background here.
That's good.
Yeah. So let me get the background. I guess it's concurrent with them releasing, was it iOS
18.3?
Something like that. Yeah. So it was 18.4 beta. I don't know what it is, but, I'm sorry, Nathan. Dave, did I mess it up again?
Dave's not here today, people. Dave's not fully here. Don't worry about it.
What did I do? I mess up the episodes.fm link to our show every single week.
How hard can it be?
Evidently, very.
It's not that hard.
How do I screw this up? It's just some numbers. Okay. All right. Let me wait. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to delete and redraft.
Okay. That's the beauty of Mastodon. Delete and redraft. I have a blue check mark on X and I get to edit for like, I think 30 minutes after posting. It saved me a lot.
Okay. All right. I just did that one. I got to fix Twitter. X, whatever you call it. Upgrade. No, screw it. It'll just have to be wrong.
How come Copilot can't do this already?
Okay. Yeah, seriously. Okay. Well, I'm going to delete that post and I'm going to copy this, by the way,
is riveting podcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
But see, I teased the big thing at the beginning, so they're going to stick around.
Oh, okay. Well, they are.
See.
All right, so Apple added TXT tag, and did they alert you of this, or did you just stumble upon it?
No, Ted emailed me this morning.
Oh, cool.
And said that he gave me the details.
Wait, here's how it went. Hey, that failed project of yours, we added another one of your failed tags.
His exact words in the email were, we were gonna put in the documentation fail:txt, but we decided to not be snarky and do podcast. But so they have a new way to claim shows in their directory.
Ah.
And so they have a whole new process for submitting.
And by using directory. The TXT tag?
Their submission process is outlined. Let me see if I can post this in. There's the documentation is updated here. This is how to claim your show. I'm going to post this into the boardroom. How do I do that? Paste, yeah. And so then this is how to claim your show, but they've got another document on how to add to their directory. Okay. So that was things we've been throwing that out there for a while is how do you even get your show into Apple's directory? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have an Apple Podcast account, Apple Podcast Connect account, and there, right. You know, we were like, well, maybe there's some way to do it. Because we don't have one and our show got in there. And so we've just been theorizing that either somebody internal to Apple, maybe Ted or somebody else, just stuck it in there, or somebody with an Apple Podcast Connect account just did it.
Right.
Just went ahead and did it.
Yeah. That's probably what happened somewhere.
Right. And so, they have an official submission process now. And since they have a submission process where anybody can submit, then they have, that's incorrect. It is not anybody. It is hosting company partners. Mm-hmm. So hosting company partners, of which there is a list of them, can submit directly to Apple's directory with or without an account.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Then after the fact, you can go as the owner of that podcast and claim your podcast and say, this is mine in the Apple Podcast Connect if you choose to go get an account. Mm. And then, so that claiming process is now where they recommend that you use the podcast TXT record to put your claiming token in there. Mm-hmm. So they're going to generate a token in Apple Podcast Connect. You're going to go into your hosting provider, and in the verification field, you're going to put in that and save the save your code in there, your token in there, and for 24 hours, Apple will scan your feed and look for that token in the podcast TXT tag, and if it sees it, you're verified, you're done.
Ah, perfect. Well, this is good. Now everyone can finally use that as a system because Apple's done it and everyone will glom on. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Apple.
Yeah.
Good job. So, better than Spotify.
And this idea originated with them because Ted.
Yes,
Ted
I remember.
He mentioned to us, I think, at Podcast Movement.
It took 2 years for them to get this in. But okay, that's their process. It's okay. I get it. That's businesses sometimes move slow.
Well, and that's really kind of, I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about that today, is this the natural order of things.
Yes.
This is how stuff happens in the real world.
Yeah.
They had just to finish the discussion about the podcast TXT tag. Mm-hmm. It's in their documentation. They have two options where you can verify the iTunes : Apple Podcast Verify tag, or the podcast TXT purpose equals Apple Podcast Verify tag.
Oh, so they added their own little.
Right,
shimmy in there.
Hmm. Right, so it's right. either or because some hosting companies have already implemented. Actually, there's a decent amount of companies that have already implemented the TXT record.
Yeah.
And so your purpose,
including Buzzsprout, right? Buzzsprout uses it. Don't
I think they?
I I think they do.
Yeah, yeah, I think they do. Transistor does. I think RSS.com does. I'm not sure about Blueberry.
Oh, I'm sure Todd has it implemented.
Yeah, he does. Hopefully they'll ping us and everybody'll tell us which ones have done it. But the purpose tag, excuse me, the purpose attribute is going to be custom for them, and that fits the model of this tag. The reason we put the purpose in there was so that you could have fine grained control over. Okay, because the TXT record, what you don't want the TXT record to do is become a general purpose utility that replaces a real tag.
Yeah, that just jams some crap in there. Like, here's my value block.
Yeah, right. Because that's what happened. Yeah, exactly. Because that's what happened to DNS.
Yep.
Oh, DNS, yeah. Yep. You know, became this like the TXT record in DNS is a garbage dump.
And I've used it as such for all kinds of groovy things, like verifying my Blue Sky account.
Yes, verifying domains, SPF records for DMARC. There's all kinds of crap in there. And so we don't want that to happen to this thing. So you put the purpose in there, and the purpose is meant to be a short-lived or very niche thing.
Right.
Because like in DNS world, there should have been an SPF record.
Oh, clearly.
You know, and in this thing, you know, there should be a particular type of record for a thing that's going to be a long-term deal.
It's kind of interesting, the analog between the podcast spec and the namespace and DNS. Look how long it takes for everybody to agree and come to terms on adding something to DNS. It's almost impossible.
We still don't have DNS sec.
No.
I mean, it's still not widely used.
No.
I mean, do we need to talk about IPv6?
No, I really don't want to.
We can.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So no. Anyway, this a win from the grave of the dead podcast podcasting 2.0 project.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna let these people in. Hold on a sec.
All right.
Come on in, everybody. Come on in. Come on. The band is here. Mr. Speaker, the pod sage and pod father with the State of the Union. Hey, I did that live and unrehearsed, I want you to know. I literally ripped it from, I hit the YouTube, this music's on YouTube, and I hit it.
While I was talking?
Yeah, sight unseen.
Man, it's almost like you're a pro.
Yeah, I'll have to admit that was somewhat talent and a lot of luck. But that's
that's professional.
That's how you can dethrone people like Joe Rogan. It's all very simple. Yeah. All right,
rip and run.
I figured it was time for a State of the Union.
Oh, and you wrapped it up on time.
What can I say? A lot of talk in my favorite podcast, podcast about podcasts. That would be the New Media Show and Power, the podcast.
Can I preface
weekly review?
This?
Sure.
I would like to say, for the record, since this is the State of the Union, I would like to say that I have not listened or read any of this stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, this is how I like you the best.
I did this on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know how I am.
Mm-hmm.
I heard New Media Show. I heard Rob say, we're going to talk about podcasting 2.0. And then he said, he asked this question. He said, has it lived up? We're going to talk about whether it's lived up to expectations. And I immediately stopped, pause. I'm like, I'm not listening to this.
Well, I figured you would either not listen or you would have 50 clips. And so when I didn't see clips, I'm like, Dave hasn't listened, and I love it.
Yep. Yep.
So just to preface for those you don't know, an episode of the In and Around Podcasting podcast had the title, Is Podcasting 2.0 a Failure? And of course, I listened to the episode. It was recommended by James Cridley. He said it's a good discussion. And I listened to the discussion that James and Sam had on the Podcast Weekly Review. And I also listened to the New Media Show. And now listening to the In and Around Podcasting episode, what they didn't really define is what success means. I did hear
Thank
a lot.
You. Thank you.
I had heard a lot of stuff about the podcasting industry, tipping. Listeners are stupid. They just want to hit play. The movement. All of these things to me say we. That's why I say we need a State of the Union to just briefly go over the history of what we're doing here. First of all, Podcasting 2.0 is the name of this podcast. It was never set out as a movement. It was never set out as a project. It was never set out as anything other than the name of this podcast. And it was
created. It was two things. It was the name of this podcast, and to really piss Dave Weiner off. Those were the two intentions.
Well, that was your input, and we appreciate
mission
that.
Accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Just to reiterate. I called Dave over 5 years ago and said, as I have done throughout now the past 15 years, said, Dave, we got to do something. What do you think? And Dave went, okay. And that was pretty much it. I think every single time I've come up with an idea, you said, okay, let's go build it. And we've built many interesting things.
But I want it to fail in reality, not fail on the phone.
So, and I still use our products and they are rock solid. But I proposed building an alternative index of podcast feeds, and that we would do this mainly, and that this was the impetus behind it, is Apple started screwing around with entries in their index, which they may in hindsight may actually regret, but there was this, you know, overnight move by Apple and Facebook and Twitter at the time to remove certain feeds and to deplatform basically. And there was also some odd things with Apple News that the API didn't really return the proper RSS feed. So there was, it was wonky enough that I said, you know, we can't really have a commercial partner managing the entire world of podcasting. And when you looked at it objectively, Apple's iTunes at the time had become the default on-ramp into podcasting, because if you were in the Apple index, then you were in Overcast and you were in any other alternative podcast app. The second thing, which we put in from the get-go, was the value tag, which of course gave us the reason to create the namespace. And I believe we also put in chapters quickly at that point, because there was another namespace item floating out there, I think, and you'll have to correct me on that. But the main reason for the value tag was this new thing called the Lightning Network, and I saw it as a possible alternative should anyone be deplatformed from any of the financial payment systems, most notably PayPal, which my entire mortgage is based on. Without PayPal, if that goes away. And by the way, just to give you an example, when the PayPal apocalypse happened, when I can't remember why it was, but people got really mad at PayPal and they closed their accounts, it hurt. Financially, it hurt No Agenda quite significantly, because
that was because PayPal said changed their terms and said that if they found that you had donated to certain things, they were going to like fine you.
Right, right, that's right. And a lot of people had recurring donations, which in No Agenda world, value for value is any amount, any frequency. So anything from $4 a month to, you know, some people did $5 an episode, et cetera. And a lot of those went away. So that created the namespace. And it was miraculous to see that, as I think that was kind of the beauty of the project, was setting up podcastindex.social. You know, Mastodon was kind of an up and coming thing. I had a little bit of experience under my belt. And so I set that up, and people came, and people had all kinds of ideas. And as we were talking on this podcast, and this podcast was really meant to replicate the original days of podcasting of daily source code, where if you talk about it and you talk about the what the developers are doing and the development they're doing, you have this kind of circular motion and there's feedback. And you and we've had many of the developers on the podcast in the boardroom talking about, you know, what we're doing, basically. And it was also to continuously remind people that the Podcast Index is an open source project and it is a value for value project. And if only if people find value in using it with the API that we've made available for free at no charge, if only if people would support it, would it continue to exist. And you and I had that agreement as well. And it's like, that's just how we're going to do it. And remind me, I'd like to answer Todd and Rob's question about the finances of the index later on. So that's noted. So that is really what it is. And the namespace kind of took on a life of its own, and we focused on the namespace. And lo and behold, there were existing apps, but a lot of new energy and excitement came with new app developers. Some have come, some have gone. And multiple things have happened from the and in a way, because we never really did any marketing, the name Podcasting 2.0 took on a life of its own, and it became kind of a moniker for wow. There's Dreb Scott. We do he fired off his own big baller with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Satoshi boost.
Whoa.
Then he says,
thank you, Dreb.
I find value in this project. Go podcasting. Thank you very much, Dreb. This is, there you go. This is one of the things that we've created, including the lit tag and all of these wonderful, fabulous things that have come out of this project. But it kind of became a moniker, and as humans do, and I'm sure that we've been just as guilty of it. It's like, hey, it's podcasting 2.0, and, you know, to the absolute chagrin of Dave Weiner, as you pointed out. But I
moniker,
think
that's a good term. Yes.
Yes. I believe from year one, certainly, I have always said that I'm looking for something new, for new applications, not just the same old inbox model that we've become accustomed to in our daily lives and our daily podcast lives. And who was the guy? Rolfi. Was it Rolfi? Rolfi, I think his name
is. Yeah.
Rolfi would from time to time code something up that was like, what am I looking at? And boxes would be jumping around and all kinds of crazy stuff would be happening. And it was always fun and interesting to watch. And I've also in more recent history said quite clearly the way forward, I believe, is more looking at specific listener groups. And my example was the Rachel Maddow app. Now, so I define and one little side note. I think one or on the last episode of the board meeting, you said you highlighted how important indexes are, and then also how complicated it can be, and also what the weakness is. And we talked a lot about decentralization of the index, which is our ultimate goal. And here is an API which you can use for literally anything you can dream up. But what has been the main focus has been kind of a traditional podcast app. So when I look at successes, I look at the Fountain app and I say, we can die right now. We have made this has been a tremendous success where an app came out of nowhere, rose from the ashes, and built an entire ecosystem around a community of people. And that community of people has mainly been people interested in Bitcoin, users of Bitcoin, users of the Lightning Network, and Noster. And I have no insight into the finances, but they actually raised money based upon what they were doing. And it appears to me, just looking at the 1% that we get from Fountain. And by the way, if you look at the V4V stats, there's a lot of apps that we don't get any split from. A lot of them look up. We do direct feed lookups like Podcast Guru. So, you know, most of my, even my boosts, et cetera, don't even, there's no split that goes off to the index. So it's probably significantly higher than what most people are seeing in the statistics. But right. here is this beautiful resource with a well-documented API. Thank you to everyone who's been involved in that, that can be used for many different things. Fountain, to me, is a mind-boggling success, even though I even pushed back in the beginning thinking that posting the boostograms would detract from value for value. I think I've admitted I was wrong about that several times. It is a full-on beautiful ecosystem for a group that is not small, it's not huge, but it's not insignificant. Then we have an app like LN Beats, very specific, focused completely on music shows and on music. And I think it serves that growing, small but growing community extremely well. We've seen this with many of the live shows. We've seen it with the Boostagram Ball Live. Just it's a very, very successful project that is just getting started. True Fans, I believe that when True Fans becomes native app, True Fans will find its place. And the name already says it. I think it will be a place that people who want to be rabid fans, not just for podcasts, but for music as well, will go to interact, to exchange, to buy merch, to buy tickets. Sam has a vision, and I believe that is going to come out. And that is all thanks to the Podcast Index. I think that is a huge success. Agreed. Hosting companies are very active. In fact, it's mainly the hosting companies who we can count on larger funding for the index. But, you know, that's not to say that, you know, every single Satoshi counts. And you know, you get a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 from Dreb Scott. That takes care of a couple of servers on a monthly basis. So that's fantastic. I call that a big success. Now, what this is has never, I think the concept of the, all of the, you know, the most important tags or the top 10 tags and all the podcast apps have to have, I think that is archaic thinking. That is probably not going to happen. We live in a very decentralized world right now. It's not about, in my mind, in my opinion, it's not that YouTube is all about video. It's just a place that's easy for people to get it where they already are. There's a good search and they can find it. And so the users aren't really concerned about an RSS feed. But if it's an audio only podcast, I'm pretty sure that they're going to find that somewhere else. So just on a quick side note of, you know, because Sam was saying, well, Adam should be the leader, and she'd be going out and doing 4 keynotes a year. Just as a side note, the podcast industrial complex, the industry, is not interested in Adam doing a keynote.
They don't really care about anything we have to say.
That keynote is a $50,000 sponsor opportunity. They're not going to put me on a keynote. See, Podcast Movement, now I think 3 years ago, they threw us in a back room during lunch hour and put up a little easel with a sign that says, ugh. So
it was really hard to spell.
I have never been offered a keynote, and please don't offer me keynotes because I'm not going to do it. There is no interest in me as a keynote, even though, oh yes, a co-inventor of podcast. No. There was never any interest from Podcast Movement. They're not interested. They're interested in money, which is fine. I have known this.
Yeah, it's fine.
I've known this about the very first podcast conference. I'll just reiterate the story. They called me up. We had VC funding. And they said, hey, we're going to do this first conference. It used to be called the New Media Expo. And now it's the podcasting conference. I'm a little fuzzy on the history of it. And I said, and would you do a keynote? I said, I really don't like it, but okay, I'll do it. Great. Are you going to be a silver or a gold sponsor? I said, what do you mean? Well, you have to sponsor. You have to sponsor the industry. I'm like, no, I don't. No, we're putting this into podcasters' hands, into development. I'm not going to give that to your conference. That's your business. And and I subsequently probably pissed off everybody in the conference industry, but I didn't feel that was appropriate. So,
well, just look at the 2 years in a row, Mark Cuban was keynoting yes. podcast movement for the Fireside Chat app, which doesn't even exist anymore.
Exactly.
It is not about, it's not about all that. It's a purely, the keynoting stuff is purely a money play. If you, it doesn't matter if your app even exists.
Or if anyone cares, but a lot of people cared about it. A lot of people, oh, this is the future. Okay. So as I said, the world is decentralizing. You're seeing Spotify satisfying its user base with certain extra widgets. You're seeing YouTube trying to basically capture the podcasting world, and you know they're getting the video podcasters. That's fine, but when you look at, I mean, so I think we naturally, just you and I, Dave, we just kind of, you know, we understand what the index is and what you can do with an API. And so when the opportunity came along, so I think we should talk a little bit about Godcaster since we've officially announced it. 6, 8, 9 months ago, maybe, Gordon, a guy who had this basic podcast player and was, working with faith-based radio stations to put podcasting into their web pages, he approached me and he said, hey, I really need to figure out what to do with this thing. I'm extremely interested in all the extra features. I'm interested in what the podcast index can do. And I basically looked at him as an app developer who wanted to tie in. And so I, you know, as with any app developer, anyone interested, I took my time and I explained to him what it was and I walked him through all the pieces. And a rather longish story short, after about 6 months, we decided to join his company. We're equal partners with Dave to create the Godcaster. And Godcaster incorporates a whole bunch of things that pretty much all of the features come from the podcast index. And it was very interesting to see and to hear how James reported on it because he completely missed what it really does. That's not his fault, by the way. It's not his fault. And I'll just explain what it is. And so just know that this is a completely different animal from any traditional podcast app, but it uses the podcast index and it uses some very important namespace features. So do you mind if I just give the vision for a second here, just so people understand what we're talking about, and then you can tell us how it works? Okay. Because I think I want to expand everybody's mind instead of an inbox model of a podcast app, and that's what we all have to have. Because if you look at radio stations, and I think in the United States, there's three, maybe 4,000 religious broadcasters, faith-based radio stations. And they all understand a couple of things. They understand value for value because many of them are donation-based. Many of them run nationally syndicated programming that buys their airtime. So they understand the basic value for value model. They also understand that they are on a one-way ticket into heaven, as that's where all their listeners are going with a 74-year-old average age. And they're kind of freaking out, like, what am I going to do? Because what has all of radio done around the globe almost, they have consolidated transmitters, consolidated radio stations. They have removed most of their local programming, except maybe you have Elvis, just an example, Z100 New York, Elvis Duran. He was the New York morning guy. Now he's the morning guy in multiple markets. They fire off local jingles, but he's not really talking about, you know, what's going on with the New York congestion fee. He's not really talking. He's only doing national type news. Part of the reason that local programming has died off is that Facebook has taken up all of the local advertising. If you want to advertise your small business, you're going to go to Facebook. That's where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. Yeah. Newspapers are almost non-existent. They've all kind of dried up. So really, if you look at a town like Fredericksburg, which is an interesting example where I live, there's a little under 12,000 people who live here. But on a yearly basis, 2 million people come through here to visit because we're a tourist attraction. But we have a Facebook Rants and Rage page, and that's where people go and moan and groan at each other about what's broken and what's not working. So the idea that I had is looking at these radio stations, what does every single one of them have? They all have a live stream, and they stick this live stream on their webpage, Listen Live, and increasingly more of them have an app, and they're asking people to download their app, and the app really doesn't have much more. They may have a podcast feed or two in there, but they have no way to manage or to really program that lineup of on-demand programming, most of which is national, some of which is local. But really, the vision here is you give an interface the radio stations can use as a player on their page or in their app, which we've made available, and a whole back end that allows you to schedule your live streams, to put in your on-demand programming, to also track everything that people are doing there. It's very unique. It's very unique that a station can see, okay, someone is listening to the Tony Evans podcast, and I can see that they listened right after they were listening to the live stream, heard a promo for it, and bopped over into the app or in the player and started playing that. We use the funding tag, also tracked, and this is one of the biggest problems they've had is attribution. So if someone is listening to a nationally syndicated program on KHCB in Houston and they donate to that program, how do we know that that came from KHCB? Well, with the funding tag, which we also all have in the statistical analysis program, we can say, hey, someone was listening on your KHCB app. They hit the funding tag, and we tell both parties. So KHCB knows, but Tony Evans also knows. So we built this entire, I'd call it a platform, really, that enables people who are programmers to now use the local programming that they normally wouldn't put on the air for multiple reasons, which are local podcasts. Some of them have gone, my true vision involves your local church, which are content factories. They're creating all kinds of content all the time. And to start transitioning their listener base to using this web player, using the Universal app, which is a PWA, or using their app, which, you know, we have an API so they can integrate that into their app. And we now have, did Gordon say like 235 stations who are using this now?
I don't remember the number.
I think it's over 200. And I'm going to the National Religious Broadcasters Conference next week, and I'm doing a keynote, but I'm not going to be selling in the keynote, of course. But by the way, they asked me to do a keynote. How nice is that? And I'm also going to be talking about the future of podcasting in a separate session, which will be pretty much exclusively 2.0. But we are solving some really big problems for a group that is a niche group, but has extremely large audiences attached to it. And no one has focused on that. And so that is, to me, an excellent example of the future of podcasting. We're no different than Fountain, except our ultimate customers, well, our customers are radio stations and churches, but our customers may not be interested in Noster. They may not be interested in value for value. By the way, I think they ultimately will be, and we're going to be integrating that in the future. But there's so many, I mean, our customers, the radio stations are saying, they're coming up with ideas now. What if we could do this? What if we could add this thing? What if we could do this? Mm-hmm. So that to me is the success of the project, is that anybody can come up with a completely new idea to serve a specific group, and here's all of this content that you can integrate, all of these different ways with structured data, with an open API you can access, and can do anything you want with it. When I pitched on Rogan the idea of hyperlocal podcasts, I have hundreds of emails of people saying, I love that no one had thought of this apparently. A podcast, well, that you have to be Rogan. Who can compete with Rogan? I can't do that. You know, it's too hard. And when they think about it, hey, I can do a podcast for my little town, they get really excited. And hyperlocalpodcast.com, I have a, a page that just kind of shows you some easy way to get started with podcasting. And then I actually say, go to Dave Jackson School of Podcasting, because that's the guy who can teach you all this other stuff. That is the future of podcasting. It is the future of media in general for this period of time, because we're in decentralization mode. And when all of mainstream has gone completely national, all the conversations are about national news, Washington news, EU news. It's all at this big top level stuff, by the way, that we all get spun up about. And all we do is go on X or Blue Cry and go and post videos of it. But there's a hunger, a thirst for local programming, local interaction, and definitely, and all the research shows this, for live things at a local level. So I think that is, so we are very successful in creating this entire toolbox for anybody to go off. Now, local can be a geographical locality, or can be a geography of interest. I think either one is appropriate. But that is where the future is. Just creating more apps that do the same. Yes, you may have something specific that, you know, like a better playback engine. I think that a lot of people enjoyed Overcast, which in my mind, Overcast is a legacy app. You know, it was there early on. People have used it. There's a legacy user base. But people are starving for more. And they're actually, that's the Rachel Maddow example. They are starving for something that serves their community. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think you said you used the term the future of podcasting, and the future, it just sort of started stirring my head. I was trying to keep my mouth shut and because you were on a roll, but the future of podcasting, if it's hyper local, that is beneficial to everybody. Everybody up and down the chain of the of what you might think of as the true podcast infrastructure, group. I'm not talking about the podcast industrial complex with all the advertising and that kind of thing. I'm talking about, if you just look at the plumbing of podcasting, the podcasters themselves, the apps, and the hosting companies, everyone benefits. Because a hyper local approach explodes the number of people that are podcasting.
Yep.
And so you have more podcasters needing more hosting companies, buying more hosting accounts, and all linking out to these new apps. And when I say new apps, it feels weird to say, but you got to throw Apple in there now, because they're starting to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to change their stuff to adopt 2.0 features. You have the people who, so to go to Godcaster for a second, what Godcaster is doing is, in its current incarnation, is that you're a radio station, or you can be anybody. You can be a church, you can be anyone, but primarily our main customers right now are radio stations. You go in your radio station, you log into your Godcaster, you build your player. So you add in your live streams, your podcasts, which are pulling from the index. You arrange them, you make collections, which are sort of like channels of different podcasts. And you arrange all that into a player, and then you embed it in your website, or you stick it in your app. That gets you to a digital presence. But the other aspect of Godcaster, and this is where it goes to the 2.0 at large, is that every Godcaster app, every Godcaster player that is created also creates an RSS feed.
Yeah.
And that RSS feed is a feed of your live streams and all the shows you added to your player. So if you are KDAV Radio, KDAV Radio in you know, in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, just use KHCB. It's a real station. Okay. It's a huge station. It's in Houston, and they're using it, and they love it.
If you're KHCB in Houston, what you've got is a player with all of your programming lineup and your live streams, and then you now have an RSS feed. And that RSS feed is a feed of your station. So your radio station now has an RSS feed of itself that people can now, instead of people bypassing your radio station and going directly to something like Focus on the Family and subscribing there, now they can subscribe to KHCB
exactly
directly in their podcast app of choice. And now they're following your entire station. So if you release new local content, it's going to show up in their feed, in their podcast app, because they're following you. They're not following your programs individually. So that sets the stage for the next sort of phase. This has been a sprint. I mean, this is like 5 months of development to build everything from scratch. And so we finally got here. Now, where, you know, the you are here moment is now, like, we've gotten most of the basics covered. Now we start to do the next phase, which is the fun stuff, the real hardcore 2.0 stuff. But that idea is for every new, like, just using us as an example, for every new Godcaster player / user, whatever, you now have an RSS feed. You click on the link in the player, and you get this list of 2.0 apps, and you can link out and you can follow KHCB in TrueFans or Fountain or Podverse or Podcast Guru. You can follow this radio station in all the new 2.0 apps. That's that way you got some people, you've always got some people who are going to listen to on the website, but then you have hardcore users that want to listen in their normal podcast app, and they can do that.
Eric PP just said, no agenda stream would be perfect. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to have to put that together. Excellent example.
Like, what we're doing now is I'm finishing up a new feature for adding multiple live streams through the UI. It's a complex UI, so I'm almost finished with that. So we're still finishing up some of these base level features, but we're most of the way there. But I think this was an important thing. The Godcaster product fits into a section of podcasting 2.0 that I think is really important. We have been sort of building and shepherding features based on what we're hearing from podcast app developers and hosting companies. And theoretical needs. But with an actual product, we now have real experience that is guiding us. We're building actual 2.0 things, and we're doing it in a way where we get firsthand experience with it. Many people use the Podcast Index API that are not traditional apps, but you just never see them.
Right.
And I know this because every time a hiccup happens in the API, I get bombarded with emails. And there are people I forgot about. There are people that are using the API. We've got people using the API that hit us with Python scripts that all they do is data analysis.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people using it. We all the time get pings from universities.
Yeah, doing a research project.
Doing research projects. We have people using it for AI training. We have all kinds of things that are not traditional podcast apps. And the thing about the Podcast Index API is it's a full member of what podcasting 2.0 is, and it's going to even become more so. Podcasting 2.0 is not just the namespace. We've had a lot of success with the namespace, but it's not just that. Podcasting 2.0 on a technical level is the index, the namespace, Podping, mm-hmm. and any other spec that people come along with and say, here's a thing that's wrong with podcasting. What can we do to fix it?
And I want to fix it for this particular problem I have, which may not be a universal podcast app issue.
Right. Yeah. And we're, you know, so a good example of that is like deprecating tags out of the namespace. I've never wanted to do this. I've always been opposed to this. I've been open to it, but I would need, you know, I just strongly feel uncomfortable with it. And I think we were shown this week why it's a bad idea. You had Transistor that came out of nowhere and added Blue Sky support to the social interact tag. So now all of a sudden they've taken a tag that everybody has claimed is dead. The social interact tag, where's my cross-app comments? Cross-app comments aren't going anywhere. And then Transistor comes out, and based on their own desires, they like Blue Sky. And then they start looking around and they're like, hey, look, this thing called a social interact tag. We can take our love of Blue Sky and we can stick that in the social interact tag. And now all of our feeds have the ability to deliver Blue Sky comments to apps. It's a delivery mechanism. Now the apps are going to have to choose what to do with that information. They can ignore it or they can embrace it. But it's now there, whereas it was not there before.
I can see an app that embraces this becoming the de facto podcast app for Blue Sky users. Believe me, it's
yes.
I see this opportunity. It's so big. And of course, I look at the boardroom and I see the blue cry. I have the same opinion. But hey, but I'm not here just because of my own opinions. We're here. Technology is agnostic. It can be used for peace. It can be used for war. And it doesn't really matter to me. So
if we had said 3 months ago, the social interact tag is just, it's not getting adopted. Nobody's using it. Let's just deprecate it.
Well, exactly.
Then we would have cut the knees out from under Transistor, and they would have had to build some new thing on their own that didn't have the possibility of the adoption that we see with social.
That's such a great example, Dave. And I forgot to put it on my list. I really encourage anyone who, if you want to have a successful application that has podcasts and comments, I'm not even going to call it a podcast app. It's like, wow. I mean, the hole is so big, I can spin a 747 around in it. It's like, come on. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Yeah. Build it. They are waiting for it. And let them figure out what podcast they want to surface or what they want to highlight. That's the opportunity. And it's poetic justice that Transistor did this.
Well, and then now today, Apple, the podcast TXT has been one of the most poo-pooed tags in mm-hmm. the namespace.
Mm-hmm.
What is this thing for? It's silly. Nobody's going to use this thing. It's going to be niche forever. And then Apple says, hey, we just used it and stuck it into our documentation as a recommendation because it fits a need for us. That's the nature of open source and collaborative projects is not some sort of plebiscite. It's a process. Instead, it's a process where we try to convince each other of a good idea. Everybody takes a shot at convincing everybody else whether something's a good idea, knowing in advance that you're never going to get unanimity. But there might be enough people that get on board that are willing to do some development and bring a thing to life, and then 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years later, somebody picks that thing up and makes something beautiful out of it. That's the way this stuff works. It's not a product delivery.
Here's another example. As I have seen this huge influx of interest for local podcasts, and people have emailed me. They say, thank you for bringing this up. We're already doing it. I got this this is great local podcast in Saskatoon, Canada. Those guys are out of control. They do a daily show. They've got the local lumber yard is sponsoring it. I mean, it's perfect. Here's an idea, a local podcast application. How can I find the podcasts that are in my area? Now, that means that the podcasts will have to start using the location tag, and many of them do. Most don't. But you watch. When there's a place for them to surface, for people to search, people will start using that. Publish will start using the location tag.
I mean, every Godcaster feed has a location tag based on what the user put in there as their radio station's location. And that's when you begin to have adoption like that, it doesn't take long before the data guys out there start to really take notice.
Yeah. Is it listen.godcaster.com?
Listen.godcaster.fm.
Oh, .fm. I made a horrible marketing mistake there. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, you go to listen.godcaster.fm and you just type in something like Texas and it shows you all the stations.
Boom.
In Texas.
Boom. Look at that. How many are in Texas? So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A lot in Texas.
So this is not a podcast app. Listen.godcaster.fm is not a podcast app.
No.
It's a search engine. But we're using the location data out of the Podcasting 2.0 namespace to find this stuff. And it'll get better over time as we refine this with like James's new proposals for the location tag to tweak that and make that better. I just think we need to go back to this question of what Rob said. Has it lived up to the expectations? What are the expectations?
Yeah. For my money, I come here every Friday because it's so successful. Because of the success of what we've built here, which manifests itself in many different ways. If we're only thinking inbox structured podcast apps, well, you're going to get what you get. But that's not the success. Actually, it was something on the new media show that Todd said, which I thought was really a salient point. He said, if you're going to start a show and you want to go to YouTube, this is not a video or audio question. There's 160 million, I think that was the number, YouTube channels versus 250,000 global weekly podcasts or podcasts that update at least on a 10-day basis. Where do you want to be? Where do you think you can get some traction?
Right.
I mean, it's dead simple to me. And it's not a question of we just had this huge, funny, I'll have to say, a headline in Newsweek saying that this podcast, Media Touch Network, had dethroned Joe Rogan. And they show the Podscribe, is it Podscribe? The Podscribe stats. And Podscribe uses a tracking pixel, so I don't think it's, I don't think it's jacked. They probably IAB 2.2394 compliant. But what they do is they have about 100,000 downloads or 100,000 people, and they release 15 episodes a day. Well, do the math.
Jeez.
Yeah. So if you release 15 episodes a day, you're going to get to over a million downloads on a daily basis. And at the end of the month, you're going to look pretty good with 57 million.
Oh, that's the Steve Bannon model. You release instead of 1 4-hour episode, you release 4 1-hour episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's absolutely valid. Now, is the content compelling? I think they probably have about 100,000 people subscribed to, and this was not including YouTube. YouTube has similar numbers. But it was purely based on the download chart. And so I think, you know, and, you know, would they run bots? Could they? Could have? I don't think so. But I think that's a strategy. And then do a press release and boom, you know, oh, we dethroned Joe Rogan. People don't know. They don't know how that works.
Right. There's so much going on under the sort of behind the scenes with all this stuff. I mean, Sam is adding, you know, he just added ActivityPub support. For comments to true fans, mm-hmm. for comment threading. I mean, like these are all of these are major things that just happened this week.
Yeah.
This whole concept of 2.0 being some kind of dead endeavor, it doesn't make any sense.
there's no definition in the question of what success is. And if we think success has to be Adam going out and telling everybody to use these tags and more podcast apps to use these tags. Well, no, that's not success. And it's also not necessary anymore. That's the main thing. You know, I can't hammer this home hard enough. Local podcasts will lift the tide for all, as you pointed out, in particular for the hosting companies. This is
local podcasts.
This is where you want to be. This is the audio. This is where you want to be marketing. You want to be, don't just tell people how they can start and grow their show. No offense, Todd. But how can you serve your community? How can you create a podcast for your church? How can you create a podcast for your scout group? Whatever it is.
That thing you just talked about with Rogan and the, what was the name of the other podcast? Midas Touch. The podcast industrial complex is obsessed with things like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's obsessed with who's at the top, who's got the biggest audience, who's got the biggest advertising budgets, who's got the, you know, it's a humongous popularity contest. But what drives actual podcasting, you know, ask the hosting companies, what drives actual podcasting is normal people mm-hmm. with small audiences. And I mean, well, they don't want the Rogans. It's costing them a fortune, you know?
It's actually bad.
It's bad. Like what drives podcasting as a broadcast medium is the small.
Yeah.
It's the humongous pool of people all doing it. It's the Sir Spencers and the Blueberries and the Daniel J. Lewis's that are, you know, that future of podcasting probably does, you know, has the same size audience as our show does, not big,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great show and it adds to the conversation and it adds to what podcasting is as a medium. All that is what podcasting is. It's not these humongous gargantuan shows
or
it's just humongous. That's not the future
or humongous adoption of one type of app.
Right. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You know, and by the way, if you look at Fountain, they've got their crap together, man. They're marketing all the time. Mm-hmm. They've got their own charts. They've got their own, you know, promotions. They've got all kinds of things they're doing and trying out. And, you know, is it making a dent in the OP3 stats? No, but they're surviving. Mm-hmm. You know, they're alive. I think they pay themselves salaries. They were able to raise funding on it. I'm seeing that, you know, they are 95% of all the boosts and the streaming traffic. So, you know, you're either paying 4-5% of your streaming and boost traffic to them, or you're paying for a premium subscription. I get a premium subscription. I love it. You get, you know, mm-hmm. all kinds of extra things unlocked, and they're doing it for a very specific audience. They don't need to be Apple. They don't need to be Spotify.
No.
They're satisfying a whole different audience, and the tie into Noster is exactly what they should be doing.
And we're never meaning the podcasting 2.0, the people who are involved in it, we're just never going to do marketing. It's just never...
Of what?
I hate to
of
say
what? It. What are we going to market?
But number one, it's just not who, it's just not who we are as people. And number two, it's not necessary, because I had a grand total of about three conversations with Ted Hosman in the last 2 years about the podcast TXT record as a solution to the verification need. And it's in it. Boom, it's in. I never did a keynote. We didn't pimp that thing. What matters is, does it meet your needs?
We were standing outside the hotel at Podcast Movement. I think that's where the main conversation took place, and right outside the lobby, if I recall.
Right. Yeah. And then we had a follow up conversation with it, you know, about it after, and hashed out a couple more details after they released transcripts. Was about a year ago. And so this, it's just not necessary. The only thing that matters is, does this thing meet your need? And if it does, you're going to use it. If it doesn't, you won't.
So if you want to see, we've mentioned it before, if you go to hellofred.fm, you'll see the Godcaster in action. You'll see the live stream. The live stream is Adam's radio station. It's my little radio station, and I run it with my friend Jimmy, Pastor Jimmy, and we pick the music together. There's a couple of V for V songs in there, and I'd love to add the remote item tag. We'll get in there eventually so we can stream them sats, but in general, it's licensed music, and because it's a stream, I pay ASCAP BMI through Live 365, so it's all doable because it's a small community, and I run promos in there, and those promos are for local podcasts. We have one guy, he does the Capitol Report, he goes to Austin, and he comes back, and then every week he gives a five-minute podcast, and he talks about what's being decided in the Texas legislature, his name is Matt, and people know him from church and know him from town. Like, hey, Matt, I heard your report. That's great, man. Everybody is happy about that. Here's an opportunity, and it's two-pronged. If anyone's interested in working with me on creating a HelloFred.fm app for iOS and Android, and we have everything available, we have an API, so you can tap right into that for the app. I would love to work with you on doing that. And the opportunity is, I'd love to have a couple of app developers when we have one of our customers who wants to do an app. They have a couple of places they can choose from. Some of them are already going with some app companies, but I think there's an opportunity for people who want to work for radio stations, possibly churches. Because that's all consolidated too, by the way. And they're kind of hurting because you have these app companies, and you know, they've gone to all the radio stations, and a lot of these stations are there. And the app companies, they have a very set template, and you know, they may or may not want to add additional resources into integrating an API. A lot of them stick our PWA in, like a web view, which is fine. But you know, you don't get all the CarPlay and Android Auto features. And I think there's, opportunity there, and we'd love to share with anyone who's interested.
Yeah, that's, I think there's a big opportunity for podcasting 2.0 apps in general to, sort of white label.
Yep.
Themselves.
Yep.
To a specific market.
Yep. Big time.
You know, rather than showing everybody the entire index, because that's not what Godcaster does. For Godcaster, we have a curated set of feeds, and most of the time, as a user, you're searching in that database of feeds, which is only less than 2,000 feeds, and they're feeds that cover 99% of what our specific customer base wants. And you can do, and they can search the full index, but what happens is, the way it works is, if you try to add a feed to your player and that feed is not in the local database, then it searches the index. So like, you have to be real, like, it keeps people from just putting a bunch of junk in there. But any app, True Fans, Podverse, you know, Podcast Guru, any of these apps could spin off another app with a subset that targets a specific audience and white label that app as a as another thing, because mm-hmm. that's what happens in the church world. Mm-hmm. There's lots of app developers. Like if you go to a church, if you look up, you know, a church on the app store, they may have an app and it's probably from one of a handful of app developers who just white label their base app as that church's name. Mm-hmm. And then they just bundle it, ship it to the app store and they're done. You could do that with the podcast app. You know, to give a very like a streamlined experience for just your target audience, like, you know, like Fredericksburg or Birmingham, Alabama. That way it shows up and all you get all the local SEO goodness and all that kind of stuff kind of baked in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunities for that.
So just briefly, since there seemed to be a little bit of confusion about Podcast Index, I'll just reiterate. Podcast Index is an LLC. Adam and Dave are the two partners. We set it up as an LLC for two reasons. One, for protection. That's why you have a limited liability company. So we can't be personally sued for anything that someone might go crazy about. And two, for control, I'll be very honest about it. We wanted to control what its destiny and what happens with it. And the finances work as follows. Every Satoshi that we receive, and it's typically one sat per minute from almost every stream that comes in. It's if you grab the value block from the index and not from the feed, which I don't know. I think most apps grab it from the index. I'm not sure. I know Podcast Guru doesn't, so I'm not sure. A lot of them will look it up first and then maybe look at the index secondarily. If it's from the index, then we insert a 1% fee. So if you just look at the index node, you'll see one sat, one sat, one sat, just continuously one sat. If someone sends a boost, then yay, we get 1% of that boost. That all of the Satoshis from day one have stayed on the Podcast Index node. And with that, if you need a channel, and it was different a little bit earlier on, now Albie Hub, there's LSPs in the mix, but anyone who needs a channel, we'll open a channel to you. We have big channels open to some of the main players, and we use that purely for liquidity purposes to keep the Lightning Network flowing. All of the PayPals all go into our PayPal account, and then our, I guess, Dave, you regularly slush that off into the bank account. So the
I have an automatic, all of our hosting fees get paid automatically from the PayPal account. And then anything that's left in the account over $1,000 at the end of each week gets swept into the bank account.
And so that money just stays in the bank account. At the end of the year, when it's tax time, because of the nature of the LLC, Adam and Dave get taxed on the income minus the corporate expenses, and then we pay ourselves whatever our tax liability is so that we pay that to the IRS. And that's all. We don't take a penny of anything. And we're happy that way, because we want to build this fund up long enough that if RSS.com and Buzzsprout and Blueberry and, you know, all the individual $25 donors, if that dries up for some reason, that at least the index can continue for a number of years while we figure out what to do with it.
Right. So, and I've said this before, if for some reason, everybody pulled out and stopped funding.
We'd pay for it out of our own pocket.
we could run for 2-3 years, however long till the funds ran out. At that point, when the funds run out, I would just cut the index down to the bone, and we'd pay for it out of our own pocket.
Absolutely.
And that's another reason why we want to decentralize the index. is because in the process, it lowers the hosting fees and makes all of this even makes all of this more sustainable.
Yeah. Well, I'm done. I need a smoke now. Light up a cigarette, Dave.
A cig.
I need a ciggy.
I think it's,
and I'm thankful, by the way. I'm very thankful to Mark and in and around Mark. It's Mark, isn't it? I think it is.
Is Mark? That?
I think it is from In and Around Captivate? Podcast. In and Around, yeah, I think so. Mark, Captivate. I think so.
I don't think that's the same show.
Yeah, In and Around Podcasting. Yeah, I think it's Mark. But I may be wrong. So, come on, boardroom, help me out. Yes, Mark. Thank you. Okay. I'm very grateful that he did that, and I'm grateful he did that clickbait.
Mark Asquith.
Yeah, I'm grateful.
Okay,
that really was good. It was the jolt that we all needed. It sparked my thinking, gave me clarity, and I hope that we've helped out here, and that people, sit back and let it swish around in your brain for a second and think, what can I do with this? What can I do with this? I know there's a lot of people who are purely interested in the content. Okay. I mean, man, the music stuff, LM Beats is great. I think we have a lot of exploration we can do on the lit tag. Mm-hmm. And who was on the, I was very impressed with her on the Podcast Weekly Review. Her name was Rocky Thomas of Soundstack. Rookie. Sorry, Rocky. Didn't mean to call you Rookie. Rocky Thomas of Soundstack. She knew exactly what she was talking about. She knows about all of the tags. And she's very excited about the lit tag. And I was delighted to hear that. I'm like, Thank goodness. And I, and this is something that is, we've talked about it before. This is what radio stations need to pay attention to. This is so much can be done with this. And I think I have to talk to Bemrose, but I think I'm kind of considering setting up a Godcaster for the No Agenda stream because, man, it really is perfect. It is perfect for the No Agenda stream, with the 24/7 stream and then put in all the podcasts that are featured on the stream. You can rearrange them so we know what's coming up next, or there's a whole bunch of things. And then of course you can subscribe to it, to the entire No Agenda stream, arsenal of podcasts in any podcast app.
Boopery just posted some kind of screenshot from looks like a Noster chat where Sam Means from Wavelake is talking about the Podcast Index LLC privacy policy in terms of service. I don't really know what is being said there, but let me just state this on the record. I have no idea what's in that thing. that thing was created by Eric, who was a partner with us when we first launched this. Mm-hmm. And he wrote or he birthed that entire thing. And I honestly,
it's probably copy pasted from somewhere else.
I think it is. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying to say two things. No, first, we probably need to go and look and actually see what's in that thing and see, do privacy policies and stuff really have to be so confusing? Can't they just be straightforward? Like I honestly just don't know what half of it means, and the other thing is like, don't get too hung up on it because I think it's basically, it's like it got written by AI or something. I don't, any specific thing in there is, like I said, we don't even know what's in there.
All right, fine.
Like if you're freaked out by something it says in there. I mean, email it to me and we'll I don't know. We'll try to figure it out. I think it's purely just lawyer stuff.
Yeah, of course it is.
Eric was just trying to keep us from getting sued.
Right. Well, what it looks like, and I don't know why Sam is doing that, but it looks like he is saying that, if we or our assets are acquired, if we go out of business or bankrupt, then we can transfer all the assets Well, yeah, I guess we could. But ultimately... Oh, well,
but we could do anything we want, though.
Yeah,
I mean, like...
That's, yeah, I mean, ultimately, it comes down to trust. And as we've stated quite clearly, we want to decentralize the index. So if you're really worried, then help us decentralize.
Sure. Oh, sure. Like, I mean, we... It's not just that that thing says it that makes it where we could do that.
Exactly.
We could just do it. I mean, yeah. And but it's not about, it's not a privacy policy that keeps us from being douchebags. It's the fact that we're not douchebags.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what keeps us from doing stuff like that. It's not because we've been, oh my God, I really want to run off to Mexico with all the funds from Podcast Index, but this damn privacy policy.
We can't do it, Dave.
Me from doing it.
We can't do it.
it's not like that. It's just not the way that works.
That's hilarious. Well, let's see what's in the Wavelake terms of service.
is this a tit for tat?
I'm just interested. It doesn't really matter.
Look, there's never even any consideration of that because nobody would ever buy us anyway.
What are you buying?
We're the most worthless thing in the whole world. Like,
but what's your TAM? What's your total addressable market?
Yeah. What do you get? You get, we already give it all away. It's completely useless. What you get is an index that everybody uses for free.
Yeah. Oh man.
You get a tax bill at the end of the year.
That's what you get. Yeah, exactly. Anything else on your agenda, sir?
Don't think so. Well, I mean, I do have stuff, but I just don't think we have time.
All right.
I want to talk because I've been working on the new aggregator. And it's, as expected, it's been a challenge. Mm-hmm. But you know, the initial runs are promising. It's not doing much, but the initial runs are, you know, we're parsing like a gig of XML in about 6.5 seconds.
Dang.
So that's pretty quick.
What kind of machine is that?
Just a run of the mill, like Core i7. I mean, that's like a 3-year-old processor. It's not.
How much memory though? You're reading it into memory? Beater. You're reading the memory, right?
The memory is not. No. This is from the file system.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. That's 6.5 seconds off the file system. Hmm. We're not even at the memory part yet.
Crazy.
No, it's promising, but it's hard.
But
we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. I will say that,
wait, you're not going to be here next week, right?
Well, yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm here
when
Friday.
When is NRB?
It's Monday, Tuesday, right. Wednesday. So I come back late Wednesday night. I do no agenda Thursday morning, and then we have our regular show. I will say that I've been receiving payments on my Strike wallet from the 2.0 feed, and it's working beautifully. I think most of these are probably from Fountain, but Fountain. They were putting in a links for me to read the whole thing, but they're not doing that anymore. I'm not sure why. Let me see. Well, maybe not. Let me see. Who did? Let's see.
Should we put our I know I'm going backwards here, but should we put our privacy policy in terms of service as GitHub repos and then let people do pull requests on it?
Fine with me.
And then they can make it be whatever they want?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That's fine with me. I'm good with that. Open source. I think it's more the terms of service. I don't know if the privacy and what privacy.
Terms, okay.
Yeah. That's you know. It isn't our API. Do you have to have a key for the API? Did we ever make part of it open?
Some calls are open, mm-hmm. but others are. But most of them are key.
Okay. Well, let's thank some people who supported. This wonderful project.
Okay.
Starting with Randy Black, 1321 Satoshis. He says, go podcasting. Salty Crayon, 1701, beaming you up with some feel better karma, Dave. Reset with some bone broth. 5x5 in the beef.
I gotta run, get my paper. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'll keep reading. 777 from Eric PP with a Godcaster boost. Thank you, brother. As discussed, 123,456 Satoshis from Dreb Scott, who says, I find value in this project. We appreciate that. And Dreb, you don't have to do that because you already provide so much value, particularly doing the chapters for the board meeting. We appreciate that. A 7777 from Lyceum, from coming in from True Fans. Value for value, value verse music, sweet namespace, talk, super comments, and other stuff are music to my ears. Here is Sound Effect by Harpo Marx. Yes, you did the Harpo Marx. We came in. We all heard it. Maybe Camille Carey and Kennerly K. Kitt of the Harp Twins could be interested in Phantom Power Music, Wave Lake, Fountain.fm, radio, etc. Go podcasting. Best premises, Martin Lindeskog. He is, Lyceum at truefans.fm. Mike Newman, 777, save the taggies. And I hit the delimiter.
Yep, I've got a PayPal from our buddies at Buzzsprout, $1,000.
There you go.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Much appreciated, boys. Thank you so much. May you have many
local
podcasters.
To the mortgage
podcasters.
Of my second home in Mexico.
Sam Sethi has a second home in Mexico, doesn't he?
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I heard him talking about it.
Oh, nice.
That's only
Mexico's
the
beautiful.
That's only the second. He may have a third or a fourth. I don't know.
No. Thank you, Buzzsprout. We've also got $300 from Blueberry.
There you
Baller,
go.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you very much, Todd and crew. We appreciate you.
And Todd and the crew said, excited to see Podcast Index get back into introducing new features, the Blueberry team.
Well, yep. We love the Blueberry team.
We do. I got to get back in touch with...
What are you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I got to get back in touch with Tom over at Buzzsprout because we've been batting some stuff around. Both our kids are in college. And I gotta get back over there with him and figure out where they're at. And I'm talking to Ben over at rss.com this week. We got a call.
Mm-hmm.
Just need to catch up with people, figure out where we're at and what people need. And, you know, it's just good to touch base sometimes and figure out what people need so we can help prioritize what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Because people don't always just offer it. Sometimes you got to check in.
Sometimes you got to drag it out of them.
Yeah. Let's see. We got, here we go. We got some boosts. Oh, wait, we got another PayPal. Where we get? We got a last minute PayPal from Dave Jackson School of Podcasting, $50.
Thank you very much, Dave Jackson.
He says, congrats on the Godcaster launch. Can we get back to making streaming sats easy? Adam, do a webinar to show off Godcaster, record it, and then use it as a demo. Geeks want to know what tech is under the hood for streaming live.
Yay.
Thank you, Dave Jackson. Appreciate that. And now let's see. We got some boosts here. Always got to sort it. There we go. I got way too many emails in my box. We got... Poppy 1984 through Fountain says, love the intellectual episode. 4,000 sats. Thank you. We got Gene Bean, 1024. That's a killer boost through Castomatic says, for what it's worth, World Community Grid and Rosetta at Home run the same way SETI did, but both give attaboys and such and help you see how what your computer is doing matters.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's part. I think that needs to be part of this. You know, I think it needs to be part of it because it's important that your compute cycles aren't just being blown up all the time. That you actually see that it's doing something. I don't know exactly how to do that yet, but I think the feedback is important. I think that's a good observation, Gene. Gene Bean sent 2222 to Cosmetic. He says, what Dave is describing about how the index could be sharded out reminds me a lot of Boink, B-O-I-N-C.
Boink.
Boink. It's at boinc.berkeley.edu. Hmm. That's the underpinning of World Community Grid, Rosetta at Home, and many other projects. Okay,
interesting. Oh, okay, Boink.
We maybe it ties into a DHT somewhere.
Observe the Boink.
Okay. Let's see. And we got Comic Strip Blogger, 15,150 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Grumpy Old Ben's podcast is on hiatus because Ben Rose got well-paid job in Seattle as manager of delivery driver for Amazon. So I'd like to recommend another Grumpy pod, Grumpy Old Dames, at www.grumpyolddames.com by Lady Loka and my fellow Pomeranian aficionado Lady Vox, the singer. Quote from their website, quote, dames are the ambassadors of womanhood. They offer a mature female perspective, end quote. In last episode, they talk love, no agenda, how women find men. Yo, CSB.
Oh, how women find men. Oh, there's one I got to tune into. I've always wanted to. That's right, a church. Of course, a church. Did you have monthlies as well?
We got some monthlies. We got Gene Liverman, $5. New Media Productions, that's Todd and Rob, $30.
Ooh, thank you.
Michael Hall, $5.50. Timothy Voice, $10. Trevor, that's down under Satan's lawyer. He's way down under $5. Oystein,
there again. With, yes.
Yes. The O has a little slash through it, so you know it's legit. $5. Jorge Hernandez, $5. And Michael Goggin, $5.
Oh, thank you so much. And a reminder, I think Oystein comes on with his mutton meat and music after the after the board meeting. He's been doing that for every Friday for quite a while, so you can just stay tuned. And I think he actually stays in the 2.0 chat, I believe.
All the time? He just never leaves?
No, he's just glued to it. He's just there all the time. We did get a late boost from Gagglepod 7777. Great to be among the Walking Dead. Podcasting 2.0 is far from dead. So as long as one of us is still carrying the innovation torch, have a great weekend and go podcasting. Beautiful. Thank you all so much for being here at the board meeting today. Thank you for participating in our Value for Value project to keep all of the machines whirring and the steam coming out of the pipes. Go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you'll find a big red PayPal button. And it would be great, you know, if someone could put do a pull request to add our on-chain address there. That would be cool. So that people can donate if they just want to donate on-chain. You know, you might have a Bitcoin laying around, you know, send it off to Podcast Index. Just saying. Yeah. So you can use that for your fiat fund coupons. And, of course, all of the modern podcast apps that understand how it works. You can boost us. It does matter. And everyone gets to participate in the benefits of that, which is liquidity for all. Dave. Is it busy again for you? Now that all the IRS agents are being fired, does that mean you guys have to do more work, or is everyone just happy? Like, oh, we can sit back and relax. There's no audits this year.
No, the worst part about IRS agents getting fired is that you still get all the letters, but you just can't get anybody on the phone.
You just send it into a big black hole.
The letters don't stop, believe me.
Yeah. All right, brother. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, and have yourself a great weekend.
All right, you too, bro.
And everybody in the board meeting, thank you very much, board members. Good to have you here. We will be back Friday, and I'll bring some information back from Dallas, I'm sure. We'll see you right here on Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! It can be used for peace. It can be used for war.